to see this number out tonight, and if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want to read with you a few verses for the thought of our study. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and if you will, most kindly, begin with me at verse 7. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. The Apostle Paul at this time is writing in regard to the persecution that was going on. And he said at that particular time that it would be better for an individual who was not married to stay in that state, or for a widow to stay in that particular state, because of all the persecution that was going on at that particular time. I began to think about that, and I thought about how many sermons have been delivered in regard to the home life. How many sermons have been preached in regard to marriage? And we've got many different lessons and series, and we talk about the home and the role of the home and what the role of each individual is, and that is very important. However, I wonder if in our preaching we have not overlooked some when we talk about people that are not married. When we only talk about people that are married, that leaves off a certain amount of people that at this time are not married. And if we ever thought about the ones that walk alone in this life, I believe it would be good for a few moments of our time to talk about those who walk alone. And my hope and prayer is that in our study, that if you are an individual that at this time walks alone, that you'll be encouraged and edified. The first thing I want to talk about is the unmarried, those who have never married in this life. There are many people in this day that have never been married, and they may make a decision never to marry. And may I say with all kindness, that is their decision. There is nothing wrong with an individual who desires to stay single. I've heard some people that when they see an individual that's single, they think it's their job to find them somebody to marry. And you know, my friend, that's not my job, and that's not your job. If there is an individual that's single, they may be single by their own choice. And it may be a deliberate choice, and they may be happy with their decision. Someone might say, well, it's the will of God that all men marry. That's not true. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul brings to our attention that some may desire to remain single. And I may not know all the reasons for people deciding not to marry, but they have the right to make that decision. And you know, my friend, we ought to allow them to make that decision. But I would be wrong and I would be not fair if I did not, for a moment, take the time to warn about some of the dangers one faces in the single life. We talk about the dangers one faces in married life, but there's also some dangers in the single life. First, if one is not careful, if they live the single life, they can become withdrawn. They stay away from society in which they live, and they can become impatient and intolerant of others. Sometimes you'll see an individual that's single, and they're around a married couple, and that married couple begins to fuss, and they just get so intolerant of them. Or if they have children, sometimes an individual who's never married, when they get around children of a couple, they have little patience because they're not used to that. And I warn those who are single, we must be on guard lest we become people that are withdrawn from society. That we do not hang around people that are married and around people who have children. But secondly, it's easy to become selfish. And that is a great danger. Because you are always looking out for yourself because you walk alone. And thus it can be easy for one not to see the needs of others and not to see what somebody else may need. And so that is a danger for the single life. But thirdly, there is that of adultery. Some need to learn that if they cannot control their passion, it is better to marry. That is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 9. If you cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. But I want to stop for just a moment and think about those that are unmarried. First, those who walk alone must be offered friendship by all of us. I'm fearful that sometimes, because an individual is unmarried, we leave them out. We kind of find another couple to go out and do something with. We find another couple to do something that's fun. And so here's an individual that's never married, and we never invite them into our home, and we never talk with them, and we kind of feel awkward around. And you know, if there's an individual that's single, they are an individual that needs friends just as much as anybody else. Just because they've decided not to marry does not mean they do not need friends. And so tonight, one thing I think about is the people who've decided to be single. That is their decision. That is something that they made up their mind to be. And it could be that maybe they've just not found the right person. You know what we need to do? We just need to be friends. We need to be an encouragement too. But the second thing I want you to think about when we talk about those who walk alone are the divorced. Now, this lesson's not designed to argue about divorce and remarriage. And that is a subject we must preach on and teach on. But there are some that find themselves in this position, and they are now walking alone. And many times, it's not due to anything they did. It's due to something that their spouse did. And now they have to walk alone. They have to feel the pain about losing this individual that one time loved them and was in their life. And now they're out of their life, or they're in and out of their life, and there's great pain involved. Have you ever thought about the divorce? Many times I'm fearful that we overlook an individual, and I wonder if we just don't see how much encouragement people need that have gone through that painful position. I'm fearful that many times we gossip and hurt them more than we help them. And I'll tell you, if ever there was a need, it would be when somebody has gone through that painful process. And they're walking alone, and they need to be reminded, they need to be helped and encouraged to remain faithful to God. I need to go up to them and let them know that I'm concerned about them. And I don't need to leave them out of the process. When we have gatherings, we need to invite them. Sometimes we just look back and we say, oh, they went through a divorce, and we don't know the whole story. Sometimes we can sit back and forget there are people who are hurting, who are walking alone, who need encouragement, who need edification. And many times they are in that position not by their fault, not by anything they've done. And thus we need to be a people that show compassion. Have you ever thought in the book of John in the 4th chapter? That Jesus went up to a woman who had been married 5 times. And Jesus showed compassion. And I want us to think about people here at Eastside who walk alone, who need encouragement. But that brings up a third one. What about the widow? Have you ever thought about the widower or the widow? And there are some now that are walking alone due to the fact that their companion has died. And there again, many of us do not understand how they feel. The fact that they now walk alone. And many times, we help them in the time of their grief when their spouse first dies. But it seems like in some way, we fail to help them and realize that life goes on and they still need encouragement down the road. I'll never forget my grandmother saying something to me one time. My grandfather had been dead for over 20 years. And she looked at me and she said, "You know, Michael, some days it hurts just as much today as it did the day he died." There are widows and widowers who need encouragement. They walk alone. And we need to help. And we need to see their need. And in this society in which we live, we can become so busy that we forget people. How many times has Michael Richardson been guilty of thinking about his own needs that he looked past somebody who needed some encouragement, somebody who needed some companionship, somebody who needed somebody to encourage him at that particular time? Just how much do we encourage? If I think of a fourth. And that is for somebody who may be married, but he's married to an unbeliever. Here they are trying to live right, but the unbeliever in the house is very much opposed to their religion. And in one sense, they walk alone in the spiritual realm. And Peter deals with this. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells wives what to do. And notice he says in verse 1, wives, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, what do you do? Watch it. They without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Notice he doesn't say, nag them. He doesn't say, just start reading them off the riot act. But what he says is, you put an example before them. You live right before them. You put that example before. I have a friend in Nashville, Tennessee, that was in the military. And he was an elder at one time at the Broadmoor congregation. And he was not a member of the body of Christ. And when they were in the military, he didn't want his wife going to church. So he would set the clock way ahead at night. So when she woke up, he'd say, well, you missed church. No need to go. And she said, well, I'll hurry up and see if I can find any of them still there. And you know what? He was converted by her life. We need to pray for her. Here again, some have been brought up in the church, failed to understand the needs of those who walk alone. But can I offer you some encouragement? If you're a child of God, you're never alone. Some of us can be married with families. And because of great problems we may have in our life, maybe we deal with depression, maybe we deal with anxiety, maybe we're dealing with sickness, maybe we're dealing with heartache, maybe we're dealing with something nobody else would even understand. And you feel like you have nobody to talk to. You feel like nobody on this earth can understand what you're going through. And you would feel foolish even trying to explain it to them, that you're afraid they would look at you like, what's wrong with you? Do you realize that even when you feel that way with a family, and you feel alone even in a room full of people, you're not alone because you have one you can talk to at any time, any place, and he understands what you're going through. One of my favorite verses, one of my favorite psalms is the 121st Psalm. In the 121st Psalm, I don't know how many sermons I've preached on it. I don't know how many funerals I've used it. I've read it at the bedside of loved ones. I remember reading it when Sister Juanita Jackson was dying, and I read it at her funeral, and I remember others. And people I just, that were part of my family, people that I considered, I just loved so much and considered such an influence in my life. And I think about this psalm, when we walk alone. In Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. First, they're looking at the mountains, but their help comes a little bit higher. My help doesn't come from the hills. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Look at who it is. If we invest in somebody else and expect them to be those things, they'll never live up to that expectation. No other person on the face of this earth can live up to the expectation that God can. He said, the Lord is your keeper. One day, your spouse may not be able to keep up with you because they get sick. and they're not able to walk and hold your hand and be your keeper. But the Lord is always going to be there. And he said, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I don't know how many times in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep and I felt all alone and my heart was broken and I felt tears rolling down my eyes, I thought about that statement in the 121st Psalm. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now that can't be my wife. She's gone to glory land by that time. Who would it be? It's my God. And you know how many times I've been able to finally go to sleep because I said, God, if you're awake, no need for me to sit here and worry about it anymore. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. With God, you're not alone. I'm going to tell you something pretty personal. A few years ago, after my mother had died, my father was dating someone, and they both made a wonderful statement. They both were thinking back to their spouse, and they ended up not dating anymore, even though they liked each other and would have been a great opportunity for both. But they both made a statement that I had thought about. There are some things worse than being alone here. But there's nothing worse than being alone without God. If I had to choose between God and people, I better choose God. Because He's the only one who can preserve. And I'll tell you what we need. As the family of God at Esau, look around at some of these people. And I know that there's some who walk alone and you have put me to shame by your faith and your dedication to God. You continue to march on though you've lost a companion or a child. You continue to go on though you've lost those that you love. Or maybe you've been left. But isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God will never leave you? What did he say in Hebrews 13, 4 and 5? I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Maybe someone's done that to you, but I'll tell you who hasn't. My God. And if you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you don't have to walk alone. You can be adopted into the family of God and be a child of God and be able to call God my Father, which is in heaven. If you need to obey the gospel.